enthroned on the praises of your people. Lord, we agree in unity.
Good morning, good morning. This is the day. Yes, it is. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Runner for Christ Ministry Sunday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Sunday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Sunday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture, proclamation, and prayer, and at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe is vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. Amen? And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own Deacon Charles Mackey. Good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
All right. Good morning, everyone. We will begin with a proclamation. Why we are here proclamation. We proclaim that Jesus the King, pre-existed as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promise to David, died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as the final judge to rule. Our scripture this morning comes from Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 26. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. The righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we ask you to fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service now and later. Father, we give thanks today for this opera of some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that the songs, prayers, and the preached word lift up Jesus so that all who are lost today will be found, Father. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask for these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Deacon Charles Mackey, for this, for that, and, you know, we appreciate you and have a beautiful day, okay?
You as well. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own Shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give them glory. Grateful today, and with chaos around, I'll still choose to say, Lord, I thank you for every way you have. Come on, say, Lord,
you've done so much for me.
Come on, tell them, you've given me everything I need. With chaos around, I'll still choose. Lord,
To be thankful to God for all the things he's done, for all the stuff that he is doing right now, and we don't even know it. He's working out our future right now, and we don't even know it. He is going ahead of us. He has made the way, and we should be thankful today for the Lord giving us another chance in this life to witness for him, to teach somebody how to live for him, to be blessed with material wealth so that we can help somebody in or outside the body of Christ. Amen. We should be super thankful today, very thankful today that God has been so good to us. And I know you agree with me and you agree with J.J. Harrison and Youthful Praise when they say, Lord, you deserve it.
Come on, everybody, open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody all over the room, open your mouth and worship him. Lift your hands and bless him in this place.
simple song.
My hallelujah belongs to you. Oh Lord, my hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you. Oh Lord, yes. My hallelujah belongs to you. You deserve it. You deserve it. Come on, y'all gotta come on, say, my hallelujah. From the bottom of your heart, lift your voice. My hallelujah. Lord, my hallelujah. Yeah. Then we simply say, you deserve. Real simple, say it, church. From the bottom of your heart, tell the Lord. You deserve it, Lord, yeah. All of the glory, yeah. Everything I give you, Lord. Everything I owe you, Lord, it belongs to you.
All of the glory,
Lord. Y'all got it now, come on, say it. Everybody, come on and come to the table.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
amen. I know you agree. Don't the Lord deserve it? You know, it's a lot of us, sometimes we get to that place where we feel like something is missing. Something's just not there. Maybe we ought to look all over ourselves, all through ourselves, and see that the thing that's missing is Jesus. See, we got a personal life. We have a family life. We have a church life. And we have a civic life. The goal that Jesus is reaching for is when he becomes Lord of the personal, the family, the church, and the civic. What I'm trying to say to you is your world, my world, our world needs Jesus.
Show me your face, fill up this space, my world needs you right now, my world needs you right now, I can't escape being afraid, fill me with you. My world needs you right now.
Show me your face, fill up this space. My world needs you right now. My world needs you right now. I can't escape being afraid.
Always take us there, and we just thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged, which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will have the pleasure of hearing is Teacher of Our Youth and Little Ones, Our Little People, Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive our very own Sarah Tate McClendon. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
Lord, can you help us say that? Cause at the mention
of your name, every knee will bow, every tongue confess, you are Lord.
Cause at the mention of your name,
every knee will bow, every tongue confess,
yeah. To bow, and at the mention of your name, every knee, every tongue confess,
you are,
yes you are, oh, cause Jesus, you are Lord,
oh,
it's just that easy, Jesus, you are Lord. Yes, you are. Yeah. Your sound is so sweet.
Jesus,
you are Lord. Yes, you are. Yeah. At the mention of your name, the scales fall from their eyes. Once blinded eyes will see that you are Lord. So at the mention of your name, the scales fall from their eyes. Once blinded eyes will see that you are Lord. Together we say Jesus,
Jesus.
Go and invite him in.
Jesus.
He'll meet you at your need.
Jesus.
He's Lord over sickness.
Jesus.
sickness has to bow. Poverty is defeated. Cause at the mention of his name, demons tremble.
Amen. Amen. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be able to sit here at your feet and just soak up everything that it is that you want us to have from you, Lord. Allow us in this world to be able to make wise decisions, Lord, and allow us to illuminate your Holy Spirit that only you know how. Lord, as we continue our journey, allow us to be obedient, allow us to be humble, and allow us to be patient. Lord, allow our minds to be stayed on you and allow us to renew our minds daily in your word where we meditate day in and day out, Lord. And allow us to be able to just, anytime that we need to, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be able to just lay anything at your feet when it's there. Lord, any burden that anyone has that's listening, Lord, or listening later, Lord, allow that to be lifted, Lord. Allow any sorrowful heart, any tears, Lord, anything that allows our physical bodies to go through moments of grief, Lord, allow that to be soothed, Lord, in your word. Allow the Holy Spirit to be able to comfort us extra, Lord, and begin to direct us into your word when it is that we need you the most. Lord, thank you again for blessing us with your son that came down to die and to give us all of the accessibility it is to heaven, Lord, but most importantly, the gift of salvation. Lord, and those that have not achieved the gift of salvation, Lord, or received the gift of salvation, allow them to do so, Lord, in your name. Lord, thank you again for just all of the blessings that you do bless us with, Lord, but shield us from those things that will be hurt, harmful, or dangerous to us, Lord. Allow the enemy to not have any control over our thoughts, Lord, and allow our emotions to be at bay when they need to be, Lord. Thank you again for the word that you give to us to give us encouragement, Lord, and allow us to just keep walking in that word. Lord, give us the courage that you gave Joshua, Lord, and Caleb, Lord, and allow us to have more faith than Moses did. Jesus, thank you again for just the atonement, Lord, that you've given us and just the peace that you give us in your word, knowing that your sacrifice was enough to cover all sins. Lord, again, thank you for blessing us with life, breath, and strength, Lord, and allow us to just come to you for every single thing that we need. And thank you again for the opportunity to be able to sit here and do this. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving. Amen.
Trust and believe. I'll never leave you lonely. I need you to know
I'm wiping the tears.
Thank you, Associate Pastor Sarah, for praying and making our request known to the Lord. You know we appreciate you. Have a beautiful day. Excellent service, you guys. And so far, we are having a great time this morning with more to come. I want to say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Sunday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Sunday worship service is happening. Be the reason someone smiled today. Share the love, joy, and the blessing. Amen? Okay, time for the preach word. A message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. Following the selection, the next voice you will hear to read scripture and to introduce the preacher of the hour, is our very own sister, Rebecca Johnson. Let us prepare to receive Sister Rebecca Johnson as she comes in her own unique way with introductions. Amen?
Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you. Now, y'all know when I'm preaching, Pastor, right? I kind of have my own kind of music that I like to listen to that get me in the mood. So don't blame nobody for these songs that I play. Just blame me. Amen. I love Christian rap or Christians who rap, however they define themselves. But this song has something in it that's going to help me preach today. So don't be offended. Don't be saying they done brought the world in the church. Everybody is in the world, so we all in the church. So amen. It's already in there. But anyway, God bless you. We'll see you on the other side of this song. Well, Sister Rebecca will.
Hey, 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 hey,
Beans and
tell me why they all hating on me. Cause it's God over money on my whole team. I bang out like Yeshua is my OG. And I don't really know how to be low-key. Logo on my chest like what it do. We them followers of Christ, tell me what it do. And if you're not one, we can still kick it. But I might preach to you, I'm just being real with it. Christ said you gotta love them when they front too. Your love measured by the hate you can love through. And if Christ at the cross for the same ones and put him there and died for his killers, he can love you. He the boss, I be on my J-O. The way I do it, got a maiming in my halo. The truth hurt, but it do work. Until you met him, you can never know your true worth. I keep it 100. Some of y'all love it, some of y'all don't, but I ain't finna change nothing. G-O-M, We gon' keep it coming. If it's hating, you're the only one that does it. Homie, you can hate me. She ain't getting no hate back. You get no hate back. Homie, you can hate me. She ain't getting no hate back. Cause all the hating in the world won't make me a hater. Hater, 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 hater. All the hating in the world won't make me a hater. Hater, 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 hater. All the hating in the world won't make me a hater. Hater, 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 hater. All the hating in the world won't make me a hater. Hater, 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 hater. All the hating in the world won't make me a hater. Born sinner, I came with a flaw. I'm finna see the light. I was raised in the dark, but he came for the loss and he paid on the cross. I'm a servant of the king and I bang for the cause. Say you ain't a Christian, alright, cool. And you can't rock with it, cause it's not true. But game rock red, Snoop rock blue. You ain't never bang in your life, but you cop too. Just saying, y'all be acting funny though. First I'm a hater, cause I'm broke and my money low. Find out I made a couple hundred on a low. Now they like so. I thought it was God over money though. Hate it when I'm paid, hate it when I'm broke. They hating on my faith, hating on my folk. See them drown in the middle of the ocean. When you pull up, they be hating on your boat. Homie, you can hate me. She ain't getting no hate back. You get no hate back. Homie, you can hate me. She ain't getting no hate back. Cause all the hating in the world won't make me a hater. Hater, 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 hater. All the hating in the world won't make me a hater. Hater, 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 hater. All the hating in the world won't make me a hater.
First things first, I'm blessed, boy. Hard to stress when you dress like Metroid. All up in the armor, something on a hater like. You won't see this logo on my chest, boy. You already know though. Bumpy get to snapping like a photo on my click click. We the misfits that the spit swift. Something like where them Indians we live. Intense. More the music than your amusement. Knew that before we get formed a union with the boy in Houston. Yeah, I never doubted what the law was doing. With me or biz, I just grab my sword and with the war to prove it. This platform that we're using, mask on. Evolution is that strong. The illusion is passed on. Where the youth is, I'm back drawing a blueprint. So any hater or guard to get mashed on.
Homie, you can hate me. She ain't getting no hate back. You get no hate back. Homie, you can hate me. She ain't getting no hate back. Cause all the hating in the world won't make me a hater. All the hating in the world won't make me a hater. Hater, 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 hater. All the hating in the world won't make me a hater.
Oh, Pastor. Oh, I love that one. Yeshua is my OG. Haters, you ain't getting no hate back. Oh, my goodness. I'm putting that on my playlist. Good morning. Good morning. He woke us up again. On behalf of our entire Runner for Christ Ministries family and consistent with Psalms 118, verse 26, we bless you from the house of the Lord. Welcome. Welcome, everyone, as we are blessed to participate in this live broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. Pastor Gerald Marshall Overall continues in his sermon series of 1 Corinthians. This is part two, where he will give us deeper insight into one of the Apostle Paul's letters to the church at Corinth. He has asked me to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 4 through 6, verses 10 and 11, and verses 26 through 29. It reads as follows. I always thank my God for you and for the precious gifts he has given you now that you belong to Christ Jesus. Through him, God has enriched your church in every way with all of your eloquent words and all of your knowledge. This confirms that what I told you about Christ is true. Now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is verse 10. I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind united in thought and purpose. For some members of Chloe's household have told me about your quarrels, my dear brothers and sisters. This is verse 26. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty word. It's time to open our ears to hear Pastor O give us a word from the Lord. Pastor O, please break it down for us.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Rebecca. We appreciate you. Until Ed, I say what's up.
Will do.
All righty. Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you who tuned in today, and let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks for this day. We thank you, Father, that you've allowed us to once again gather together. We thank you for the Blog Talk Radio platform that allows us to worship in spirit and in truth, Jesus, because we're not in a corporate setting, but we're sitting right in front of you. And so, Jesus, the same kind of praise we give in church, we ought to give right here in our own homes or in our cars or wherever we are. If we're in a place where we can act it out, then we should. But we thank you, Father, that no matter what, you've created all these different technologies so that we, as a church body, can meet together in one place. And that place today is Blog Talk Radio. So thank you for that, Father, and bless the people. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears so they hear your word today, and bless my heart so it receives your word today. I acknowledge to you that my ways and thoughts are not like yours. But I'm here today to be transformed, to change the way I think, so I can always know your good, pleasing, and perfect will for my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Every time I do that, I'd be ready to open the door to the church and get on with the rest of my day. Amen. But Jesus would be like, you better preach. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Praise the Lord. This is the day the Lord made. Amen. And you ought to rejoice and be glad in it. If you're not doing that, then you're being disobedient already. And it's only, what, 11 o'clock. You're already out the wheel. Amen. The reason you don't have to worry about anything is that God rested on the seventh day of creation. You know what that means? Do you know what that means? It's done. And then God gave us his word. See, God didn't give us a shovel. He didn't give us a pick. He didn't give us an axe. He didn't give us a steam shovel, a bulldozer, none of that stuff to get what we want. He sent his word to heal the nation. So I don't care what your situation is. God got a word to heal that. But here's the problem. He put it in a book, and y'all know we don't look for nothing in books. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to lose the listeners before we even get started. Again, amen. Praise God. I thank God for each and every one of you. And you know that before we got into faith finances and you, and pray you got the 10-10-30-50 working. If you don't know what 10-10-30-50 is, send me an email. Go to pastorgmo.com. Send me an email. Help you get your money straight. Amen. Then we talked about God's plan for life and family so that we're not willy-nilly and all the way through life, that we can actually look at the word of God and see as a man what I'm supposed to be doing single, as a woman what I'm supposed to be doing as single people, then as married people, then as married people with kids. Amen. God got a plan. All we have to do is open up the book and read it, and we can get into God's plan and stop willy-nilly, amen, all the way through life guessing. I love being a Christian. Why? because all I have to do is open up the Word of God and see what God says. Whatever God says about a thing is what should be said about that thing. It is the truth. And everybody else saying something about that thing is a liar. Amen. Let the whole world be a liar and let God's Word be true. Praise the Lord. Okay. As we enter into this book, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to deal with that today. I need you to know that Paul wrote this book at around AD 50, okay? Now it's he wrote this book AD 55, but he planted this church around AD 50. So they're five-year-old Christians, amen? But a lot of the things that we're going to discover, a lot of the problems that they're having, wow. In 5 years, you're still acting like this. You've been with Jesus for 5 years, and you still acting like this. Minister Natrice Jackson, she gave us more years than five. She said, we've been in the church 11 dozen years. I don't even know how much that is. My computer won't even add it up, but that's a long time. We've been in the church for 2,022 years. Amen. Are we grown up yet? How long have you been in the church? Have you read the whole Bible yet? Oh, what about the New Testament? Go ahead. How long have you been saved? Well, these people have been in the church for 5 years, and when we get to going through this book, now, amen, I've read 1 Corinthians a lot of times, and I can sit right here and tell you what's in each chapter, all 16 of them. But we're not going to do it like that. We're going to go one by one. See, the epistles teach us how to live for God. They teach us how we're saved. They teach us those things that Jesus didn't talk about when he was here, okay? But Paul and them, well, Jesus talked about it, but they elaborate on it. Amen. They make it plain. You know how we always up in church hollering, make it plain, preacher. Well, Jesus, amen. These epistles, they make it plain. They teach you how to live the Christian life. They're not going to be concerned with your feelings. Amen. So don't forget to pick up your feelings when you read. They're not going to be concerned about your feelings. These epistles are concerned with turning you into who you're going to be forever. These epistles are concerned with helping you to know the God that you accepted as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These epistles help you to understand the function of the Holy Spirit in your life today because Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. So we learn so much from these epistles. Now, this church in Corinth, even though we're going to discover they had all the gifts, amen, they were still toe up. Even though they knew how to have church service and communion service, they were so bad at it. Some folks was getting sick. Folks was dying. So Paul is writing to them. Now, we have to have some mercy on these people. Why? Because they don't have a 66-book Bible like we do. All they have at this point is the Old Testament and these letters that Paul are writing to them. Paul wrote a total of four letters. If you carefully study 1 and 2 Corinthians, you'll see he wrote them four letters. So 1 Corinthians is really 2 Corinthians. And then he wrote them another letter. But the only letters we have is 1st and 2nd, which are really 3rd and 4th. Two other letters we don't have. I'm not worried about it. Why? Because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And if God didn't want us to have the other two letters, that's why we don't have them. So don't try to mount no search for them. Try dealing with what he already gave us with. Forget the lost books of the Bible. Deal with the ones we got. Amen. We around here looking for lost books of the Bible. We haven't even, amen, dealt with the ones. We haven't even read the ones we have. But these, you know, when I hear people talking about, I want to be blessed. I want Jesus to do this. I want Jesus to do that. And I just stand there listening to them knowing all that they want is in the Bible. They praying to Jesus for things he had already said yes to. That's why we need to read the Word of God. So Paul is writing to them to help them to understand how to live for God in an unchristian world. And Corinth was a seaport town. You know, I was in the Navy, and it's only one reason them 329 men ran off that ship when we got to Liberty. And Corinth was one of them kind of towns. We did not run off the ship to the church. We ran off the ship to the bar. We ran off. Okay, I ain't going to even talk about all the places we went, but Corinth was that kind of place. People came there all the time. So it was a seaport town, and they had a big old giant red light district called the Temple of Aphrodite, the god of fertility. They had 1,000 temple priestesses working in there. Today we would call it a brothel, and they was prostitutes. Amen. So Corinth was that kind of town. When Paul went there, if you read about it in Acts chapter 18, he was about to get up out of there. But the Lord Jesus showed up because he knew Paul was concerned. Out of all the places Paul had been through, he had even been stoned and left for dead. But when he got to Corinth, he was like, okay, this is real different. These people are not just pagan, they super pagan. They pagan on a whole nother level. And so Paul was thinking about getting up out of Corinth and leaving that place. But Paul decided to stay there. Why? Because when life gets tough, I want you to know something. Jesus will show up. If you got your biblical, come on, go to, you know what kind of, this is running for Christ, is teaching, learning, and doing. Amen? And these epistles is for Christians, so I ain't got to preach this. I got to teach this. So sit down, get your kids together. Amen. Gather up around the radio or around your computer with them big old giant speakers so you can hear me real good. Because this is teaching with a little bit of preaching, but mostly teaching. So you ought to be at Acts chapter 18. You already at verse, what, 9 and 10 and 11? And we're going to read those. This is Paul. This is Paul when he was in Corinth. Listen, what I want you to listen to, not what Paul is saying, because he ain't saying nothing, but what Jesus is saying to Paul. And we can extrapolate from that why he said what he said to Paul. Listen to what Jesus said. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision and told him, don't be afraid, speak out. Now, what do you pick up from that, don't be afraid, speak out? Paul was afraid and ready to shut his mouth. Amen. But Jesus says, don't be afraid. Speak out. Don't be silent. Listen to what Jesus says. For I am with you. Sometimes it seems like when you're in an old, foul, nasty, messy place, it seems like Jesus ain't in here. But how many know that Jesus is omnipresent? Do you know what that means? Present everywhere at once. I can't go nowhere if Jesus ain't with me. I don't want to go nowhere and Jesus ain't with me. So Paul, Jesus tells Paul, I am with you. Was Paul thinking Jesus wasn't in that place? Jesus wasn't nowhere around? He goes on to say, and no one will attack you and harm you. Wow. Was Paul thinking these people are going to attack me and beat the crap out of me? I'd have been stoned and left for dead my first missionary journey. Now I'm on my second missionary journey. Is it going to happen again? This time they might kill me. But Jesus says, no one will attack and harm you. That means all the weapons formed against Paul, because you know the devil got Corinth and he want to keep Corinth. He don't want to let it go. He ain't trying to give it up. He's trying to hold on to it. This is mine. This is my stronghold. I got demons all over this place, and we blocking out anything that's God. And here come Paul up in there. But Paul is feeling it. No one will attack you and harm you. Now listen to Jesus. For many people in this city belong to me. Wow. So Paul stayed there for the next year and a half. Now this is when he planted the church. This is AD 50. This is in the book of Acts. This is his second missionary journey. But when we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, these people, this is 5 years later. Amen. I want you to notice how Paul introduces himself to them. This is a letter from Paul. He wants them to know it's from Paul, chosen by the will of God. He wants them to know he ain't just walk up and start talking up, but God chose him. He ain't just join a club. God brought him into the club. Y'all remember, you read Acts chapter 9. You know Paul was chosen by God. Get your biblical open, because some of y'all need proof that God chose Paul, so go to Acts chapter 9. You read it. I'm just going to reread it again. Listen to what the Lord says. There's a man living in Damascus who had been witnessed to by somebody, and they got saved up there in Syria in Damascus. Well, when Paul got through wrecking the, well, Saul at that time, got through wrecking the church in Jerusalem and Judea and tearing it up in Samaria, now he headed out to the uttermost parts of the earth. Ain't that something? The devil got him doing what Jesus told the church to do. The church won't go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts, but the devil will. So he got his boy, and he's taking him down to Damascus to get them Christians down there and bring them back bound and in chains, and if they don't make it down the way, so what? I'm doing this for Jesus. I'm on a mission from God. That's what Paul thought, or Saul. Okay? So Saul goes down there. We all know he had a little talk with Jesus. Jesus made it all right. And now he's on team, and he's blind. He can't see. He needed sight back. 3 days go by. He ain't eating or talking or nothing. He's just waiting on what Jesus told him. Jesus told him there's a man that's coming to hook you up. You just stay here till that man get there. Okay, listen to what Jesus told him in verse 11. The Lord said, go over the straight street. This is almost crazy right here. Go over the straight street where Crooked Paul at, to the house of Judas who betrayed Jesus. But this ain't that Judas. I'm just saying. You know what I mean? Straight street, Paul on straight street at Judas' house. Amen. When you get there, ask for the man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. See how Jesus know what you're doing? Jesus see what you're doing right now. Are you even listening to this sermon? Are you really taking this in? Jesus see you ain't paying attention. Amen. He's praying to me right now. So don't you ever think when you praying that Jesus don't see you praying to him right now. And guess what? Jesus said, I've shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again. But Ananias need to inform Jesus about this man named Paul. He like, Lord, this man here, amen, he had done a whole lot of evil in the church in Jerusalem, and now he's down here to do some evil, and you want me to go where he at? And that's normal, amen. It's kind of a crazy request to send you to, you know, you got warrants, and this man is the one collecting, and Jesus telling you to go over there. You ain't doing that. But the Lord said, go. Now listen to this, and this is why Paul, his Romanized name, right? This is why Paul says he's an apostle chosen by Jesus Christ, and this is how we can know that Jesus chose Paul. But the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument. Take my message to the Gentiles and to kings as well as to the people of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Amen. And Lord have mercy. If you've read about Paul, you know he did a whole lot of suffering for the Lord's name's sake. On his first missionary journey, when he got to Lystra and Derbe, the Iconian cities, they stoned him like they did Stephen and left him for dead, but he didn't die. And guess what he did? He got up and went back into the city. Lord have mercy. Don't quit when stuff get hard. Remember what Pastor Janice Tate preached last week? Never give up. Lord have mercy. That's still buzzing in my ears. Never give up. So Paul says he's chosen by the will of God. Do you know that you are? Romans chapter 8, oh, I love that. It's in verse 28. It says, all things. Look at your neighbor and say, he ain't say some things or this thing or that thing, but he said all things. Guess what they do? They work together for the good. The good of who? The good of those who love. Do you love the Lord? Well, guess what? All things. See, that all things are not pleasant. All things are not sweet. Hebrews 12 tells us that it's not good going through discipline. It ain't good, but what comes out is good. But all things, God make them work together. Look at all the things that happened to Joseph. Did the Lord not make all those things work together to produce a prime minister of Egypt? Pharaoh and them or nobody else around them could even eat or have food. You might not like the things you're going through right now. You might not like the things you faced with or feeling right now. But let me tell you something about my God. Amen. He going to make them work together for your good because he know how to do that. He can make a bad time turn into a good time. Only God can do that. I was having a real bad time one Sunday. Church didn't even fix me up, neither. I came home, I'm having a bad time. My wife say, you need to go to the drag strip because that seemed to fix you up. So I got my stuff together and got in my car and went on out to the drag strip, my truck. Amen. And while I'm there at the drag strip, I'm flinging and flailing and mad all by myself in the stands. I know people's like, that boy done lost it. I'm moving over here. But anyway, I'm flinging and flailing. And I fling and flail till I turn and look at this 1992 Dodge Dakota running 1140s at 100 and, 20 miles an hour? Not less than that, about 110. And it's doing it over and over. So I fling and flail and look at this thing. Well, I was flinging and flailing because I was mad. Somebody ran into the wall. Now I got to have patience. I don't have none, so I'm flinging and flailing. I turn around and look at this car. You know what the Lord said? Do you want that? I'm like, that's somebody else's car, and it ain't no for sale. So I ain't asked you that. Do you want that? Well, guess what? Y'all know I owned it. I just sold it. What, in 2021? Bought it in 07, sold it in 21. At a profit, of course. Jesus the prophet. Amen. Amen. The Lord makes all things work together for our good, no matter what we're thinking about what we're going through. Now, if you ask me right now, I say, Pastor, what was it that you was flinging and flailing about? I don't even know. That's how well Jesus erased whatever it was. I can't tell you to this day what it was. But I know I came on with a brand new truck. But anyway, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Paul says he's chosen by the will of God. Guess what? To be an apostle of Jesus Christ. Yes. We learned that much, and we ain't even got through this whole verse yet. That's just verse 1. And there's that much. There's so much more in there I could tell you about, but I ain't got time. Okay? He says to be an apostle, what has God called you to be? What gift or giftings has God given you, and are you operating in them? How long have you been in the church? Oh, and you don't know yet, huh? See, at Run for Christ Ministries, if you go to our church website and you click on, I think it's Christian Resources or something. Anyway, look for gifts, okay, spiritual gifts. And then we have a test there that you can take. And it will tell you, if you answer honestly and don't try to make the test think you're awesome and great by being positive with it, answer it honestly. If you don't like doing that, you don't like doing that. One of our members, Crystal Crump, you hear her, Deaconess Crystal Crump, she gets saved every week, and she yearly, annually, semi-annually, from time to time, she'll retest herself to see what her giftings are, where the weak ones are, and where the strong ones are. The strong ones, she keep maintaining those. But the weak ones, she keep developing those. And see, if you answer honestly on that test, you'll come like she don't want to be a certain kind of teacher. But the test keeps telling her she is a teacher. And if you've listened to her announcements, you've been preached to and taught, and so she's a teacher. Just don't tell her. Don't tell her, though. Amen. Paul knew that he had been called by Christ to be an apostle. What a wonderful thing to know why Jesus placed you in the body of Christ. You notice how many people in the body of Christ, they don't know if they're a finger. They don't know if they're a hand, a foot, an eye, or an ear. We're going to get to that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but we got about 12 weeks before we get there. But I'm just saying, some folks been in the body of Christ like these folks 11 dozen years and have no idea what Jesus called them to do. Well, let me tell you what he didn't call you to do. He didn't call you to sit on a pew and chew and that's all you're going to do. Thank you, Reverend James O'Rear. Amen. Appreciate that. That's one of his sayings. He did not call you to sit on that pew or that chair and chew and that's all you're going to do. No, you're called to be a witness for Jesus Christ. And he may call you to be a deacon. He may call you to be a deaconess. He may call you to be a teacher. He may call you to some function that functions inside the church building. But most of us get gifts that operate outside the church building because what? We only in church for an hour or two. Amen. But we in the world, if it's 168 hours in a week and you're in church for 2 hours, what do you do with them other 166 hours? That's where you work from Jesus. So Paul says this is a letter from Paul, who's chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, and from our brother Sosthenes. You'll find him over and over and over during the second missionary journey. He was even with Paul during that storm out there on that sea. Luke and a whole bunch of other folks was there. And so he's writing to them to let them know, amen, how to live this Christian life. He says, I'm writing to God's church in Corinth. He ain't writing to unsaved people. He ain't writing to pagan people. He ain't writing to people who don't know Jesus. He's writing to people who knows Jesus. Now, let me tell you something about the epistles. Don't ever try to use anything but the Gospels and maybe some Old Testament history to witness to people. But the most powerful witness you're going to have to unsaved people who don't understand the Bible, because when we get into chapter 2, you're going to see they don't even have an antenna to pick up that frequency called the Holy Spirit. Okay, he enables us to hear from God. They don't have the Holy Spirit, so they can't hear from God, so they cannot understand the things of God. But they can understand the gospel God so loved the world that he gave. They can understand why you get saved. Our assistant pastor Janice Tate taught us to develop a one-minute witnessing thing that tells a one-minute testimony. Amen. A long time ago at Run for Christ, when we was at the hall, she taught us to develop a one-minute testimony. Amen. Because that in that first minute, you're either going to win them or lose them. Amen. In that first minute, Jesus went hard. And this, if you ever listen to Jesus, when he witnessed to people, he went hard. Now, he didn't get them all like the rich young ruler. But if you pay attention, you'll see in that first minute, you win or lose. In the very first minute, you start talking to people. Since I write books, I've learned how many words you can speak in a minute. So you got about 500 words that you can speak in a minute. And those 500 words need to be tailored, okay, for them to want to hear 500 more words. Amen? Amen. So Paul is writing to the church, not the world. The world doesn't have the Holy Spirit. So they can't understand what Paul is about to be talking about. But those Corinthians who have the Holy Spirit, well, he can confirm that these are the words of God. These are inspired words from God, even though Paul don't know it as he's writing this. But these are inspired words of God, and they are good for. Open up your biblical again, because this one we need to nail down again. I want you to go with me to 2 Timothy first. And we're going to go to chapter 3. I want you to hear this word in 2 Timothy chapter 3. All scripture. See, Paul, when he's writing over here in 1 Corinthians, he's sitting down and he's writing to these folks in AD 55. He has no idea that Pastor O's going to be preaching this. As far as he is concerned, he is just writing to a church he planted in Corinth. He had no idea the Lord was getting together a collection of 27 documents that he would call inspired word and make them scripture. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Now, see, you don't read scripture to find out what's wrong in my life. You read scripture to find out what's wrong in your life. Praise the Lord. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. That's why we have to read our Bibles, y'all. Now, go to 2 Peter. Chapter 1, we need to get this thing nailed down before we go any further. And look at verse 20. Wow, isn't that amazing? It was the same thing over there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 20. And now we're over here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke from God. Now, as we go back to 1 Corinthians, amen, to 1, and we read these words, I'm writing to God's church in Corinth. So everything that Paul is writing, he doesn't know it. Okay, if you understand the doctrine of the scriptures, you do some Christian doctrine you'll understand a lot better why the writers who wrote had no idea that they were writing the 27 documents that would become the New Testament. None of the gospel writers knew there would be a collection of 27 books. None of the epistle writers knew there would be a collection of 27 books called the New Testament. They were just writing to people like Luke. He says he was writing to his buddy Theophilus who had got saved, but he wanted him to understand what that meant. So he wrote the book of Luke. And then to follow up on that, he wanted him to know the birth, growth, and expansion of the Christian church, so he wrote them the book of Acts. But he had no idea those two books, especially Luke being a Gentile, he had no idea them books would become a part of a collection of 27 documents that today we call the New Testament. So Paul is saying, I'm writing to God's church, to you who have been called by God to be his own holy people. That means separate and apart from anything that's evil and separate to God. He made you holy by means of Christ Jesus, just as he did for all people everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. May God and our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you peace. That's just his salutation. That's just his opening. But one of the things that we find out is this church was filled up with the gifts. But there's a problem. There is a lady named Chloe who is a Christian, who is familiar with Paul, and is familiar that Paul planted this church. And she goes and has a conversation. The first six chapters of this book are not questions that they wrote for Paul to answer. The first six chapters of this book are problems that was brought to Paul's attention by a lady named Chloe. They called it the House of Chloe. Amen. She was letting him know that those folks that you planted down there in that church in Corinth, they need a Bible class. They need a word from the Lord, and they need it quickly. When we get into these first five chapters, which deal with deep spiritual immaturity, every bit of it has to do with spiritual immaturity. The first six chapters have to do all with that. Okay? Immature Christians behave like what we're going to read in these first six chapters. Immature Christians are saved. Yes, they are saved. But they still act the same way they did before they got saved. They cuss as much as they did before they got saved. They lie as much as they did before they got saved. They hate as much as they did before they got saved. They trip as much as they did. Nothing's changed except they know Jesus. Other than that, you could look at their life and find almost no evidence of Christ in it. That's the Corinthian church, and you will see as we're going through these first six chapters that these folks was all the way off the chain. If you went and looked at them and hung out with them, you'd be like, y'all naming the name of Jesus, but you ain't walking with him. Now, Chloe brought to Paul's attention that these people were like some of us are today. They got picks and chooses. There are certain folks that they like. Some like Paul. Something like he, my preacher, I don't like him. I like Apollos. And then there's like, I don't like him. I like Peter. And then there's another group. This group say, I don't like Peter. I don't like Paul. I don't like Apollos. I like Jesus. Amen? So now you got four groups in one church. These people won't come. Have you ever noticed that? There are some people who only show up in church when they choir singing. Or the choir, they like, I don't go on the third Sunday. I don't like that choir. Amen? Those are divisions. That's Satan coming into the house of God and sowing discord among the brethren. That's why God hates those who sow discord among the brethren. Why? Because they're acting like Satan. They're hating. Satan got them in here hating on each other. Satan got them in here thinking Paul is better than Peter and Apollos is better than Peter and Paul and Jesus better than all of them. But they're all divided. A house divided against itself cannot what? Stand. And so Paul wants to deal with that division. You know, Satan will come into a house and sow division between two single people. They fight. Satan will come into a house and sow division between a husband and a wife, and they're married. They're supposed to be one, but they're fighting. Satan will come into a house and sow discord among children and parents' relationships. Kids, I hate my mom. I hate my daddy and their family. Why? Because Satan knows that a house divided against itself cannot stand. And this house, this church that Paul had planted in Corinth, these organized congregation of baptized believers, like-minded believers in Jesus Christ, if I go in there and sow discord like I did in the garden with Adam and Eve, I'll tear that house down. That's why Satan comes with the discord. That's why he comes with the hate. All of us around here floating in the same boat. Did you hear that part of the song when he says they be drowning in the ocean, and when you pull up, they be hating on your boat? Some people just like that. But Jesus comes into our lives to make us one. He did not come into our lives so that we could be separate or better than this one or that one. Let me fix it up. Let me tell you something. Okay. Think of the worst person that you can think of on earth and you believe they should go straight to hell. Think of that person that's that bad. You think they should go straight to hell. Or they will go if they don't accept Christ. Now, okay, now you stand right next to that person that if they don't accept Christ, go in hell. Let me show you the difference between both of y'all. Take Jesus out of both of your lives. Where are you going when you leave here? Straight to hell. Now put Jesus in both of your lives. Where are you going when you leave here? Straight to heaven. In my Father's house is many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going away to prepare a place for you, and I'm coming back to get you and receive you unto myself so you could be with me where I am. That's John 14:2, right? The difference is Jesus. We wouldn't have any gifts, okay, if it wasn't for Jesus. We wouldn't know anything if it wasn't for Jesus. You know, one of the things that make me stay away from people sometimes is they act like Jesus got a prize when he got them. They act like they're so super holy that, you know, they converse, I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't go here, I don't go there, I don't be around them kind of people. I just praise Jesus. Amen? Something wrong with that. Something is wrong with that. When like Pastor Jonathan Tate preached that word yesterday, if you love Jesus, then that word meant something to you. If you recognize how crapped out you are, how messy we are, and you heard that word, it meant something to you. It meant this, that the only reason you're saved, the only reason you're going to heaven is because Jesus had mercy on you. How come we can't look at everybody else and know that's true about them, no matter how they're behaving? You can act like you God's gift to God all you want. I'm going to know this, that without Jesus, you'd go straight to hell. So anything you are, like Paul said, the writer of this book, and we know Paul, he wrote 13 books of the New Testament. How many you wrote? Amen. But Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. He didn't say I am what I am because I sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He didn't say I am that I am because I was head above my peers. He didn't say I am what I am because I know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God, by the unmerited favor of God, just because God wanted to. He made me an apostle, a church planter. These fake apostles you see running around here today are just super duper fake, and it's so silly. And they can only fool people who don't know what an apostle is. An apostle does not pastor a church. Apostle plants churches, appoints pastors. Show me in the Bible where apostles did anything different than that. Show me in the Bible where an apostle pastored a church. Paul said in the book of Romans, he wouldn't even go plant a church where a church already existed. He sought to plant churches where there was no church. So if these apostles today with these funny hats and big giant canes and rings and things, all that stuff is fake. All that stuff is human beings trying to be great or greater than. But it's all fake. Look, Paul closes this chapter out talking about true wisdom. I love this passage. Why? Because for a long time, I knew who I was. I knew what I was doing. When Jesus found me, I was on my way to sell some dope. Because that's what I did every day. I sold dope every single day. Okay, so when Jesus finally came and found me, I sold weed, I sold mescaline, I sold THC, I sold dibs, I sold speed, I sold blotter. If it would sell, I sold it. And you couldn't tell me nothing. My parents was praying for me, though. Then one day, my parents led me to Christ, and nothing really happened. I ain't feel nothing, but I knew I had accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, but I felt like the same. Then one day, on my way to sell some dope, Jesus showed up. Not in person, okay? I just heard a voice, and that voice told me that I was a long story short, because it's a long story, that voice, because we had a good conversation, that voice told me that I was a child of the Most High God, a son of the Most High God, and a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I didn't feel none of that. I didn't feel none of that. Why? Because I didn't go to church. Church was all around my house, my mother and father. Like I say, my mother and father led me to Christ, and I didn't feel no different until that day. But I became who I am today because of Jesus. And I used to tell Jesus all the time, you need to go find somebody else who people will listen to. I'm so dope in this city. I got babies around here who I claim ain't my babies. I'm a deadbeat, dumb dad on purpose. And these people are not going to listen to me. They know me. They won't listen to this. They're not going to accept me. That's what I told him when he was talking to me. I told him, you want me to go down here and tell these people I'm a Christian? They know I attack Christians. I used to attack who later became my pastor. And, boy, when I walked in his office and he saw my face and I saw his, I was like, oh, snap. Oh, Lord have mercy. I hope you got a bad memory, because I used to go off on him every single time. But he accepted me. Okay, he was the one who licensed me, because I didn't know you had to have one, but they gave me a license. And then it was my other pastor, Reverend Alfred L. Davis Jr., who ordained me. I didn't even know that had to happen. I thought God did it all when he called me. God chooses people. I'm not saying that Paul, now Paul himself was a scholar. Paul himself was brilliant. Paul himself sat at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the greatest Jewish teachers of his time. But if you read about Paul over in Philippians chapter 3, you'll read that he counted all of that as dung for the excellency of knowing Christ. Well, I wasn't like Paul. And I told Jesus, you need to get somebody who's smart, somebody who knows stuff. I don't know anything. This is what I do. And Jesus just kept telling me that I was a son of the Most High God and a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Guess what I've been since 1975? A son of the Most High God and a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who has written, as soon as my other book gets back from the formatters, 4 books, and a 5th one is on the way. But if you knew me back in 1975, you wouldn't have even dreamed this for my future. I want to close by just reading to you what Paul says in these last verses. Pay attention, church, because God is not looking for people who think they're all that. He can't do much with them because they think they're all that. But God is looking for people who know they ain't all that. And see, God knows that those folks will be humble. They will humble themselves under him. They won't treat God like he got a prize when he got them. But they will recognize who they are, and they will accept God's call. Reluctantly, because they know who they are, but they'll accept his call. Let me close with this. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved No, it is the very power of God. As the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. Since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom. That means, as the Gnostics believe, that you reach a certain level of knowledge and you reach what they call a gnosis, and now you know God. The Lord refutes the Gnostics and says, God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through wisdom. You can't get smart enough to know God. One of my most greatest scientists who I listen to about trying to figure out what God did with a thing that he created in this world, you know, his name is Neil deGrasse Tyson. He's a black man, and he's a world-renowned scientist. He did this thing called the cosmos. I listened to him, but guess what? He don't know God. I listened to him because he seems to understand the things that God has made, but he don't know God. So he's a philosopher, a scholar, one of the world's brilliant debaters. But he don't know God. Since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he used our foolish preaching to save those who believed. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven. You know, when Jesus was here, that's all they did. And it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. You remember Paul on Mars Hill, okay, with the Areopagus, Acts chapter 17? So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended because the Messiah, Jesus, never. And the Gentiles say, well, that's all nonsense, because you remember after Paul talked about the resurrection of Jesus, the church was over, they got up and walked out. But those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in this world's eyes, or powerful or wealthy when God called you. I know that's true about me. Instead, God chose things of the world that the world considers foolish, me, in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised for the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. But we got a lot of Christians who boast a lot. God has united us with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy. He freed us from sin. Therefore, as the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. I ain't through, but I'm going to quit. Amen, because we have to do communion, and I'm going to have to rush through this. But if you right now get up and go find yourself something that symbolizes the bread, and get up and go find yourself something that symbolizes the blood, and we are going to have us a communion service. Amen. I thank God that he allows me to preach in series. That way I never really get through. Amen. And I don't have to feel undone. Amen. Anyway, we're going to do communion right now, so let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today, and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for spending this time with us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Apostle Paul and for this letter that he wrote to the Corinthians. We ask now, Heavenly Father, that you bless us now. We ask that you accept our confession for sin right now. We don't want to be like these folks who communion for granted. Some of them were sick. And some of them even passed away. But we want to honor you, Lord, and show respect for you. And so we confess our sins and thank you for your forgiveness and for your cleansing. We ask now that you bless this that we've chosen to symbolize the bread and this that we've chosen to symbolize the wine, the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Paul said that Jesus said, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself." On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, and he gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us all eat together. He went on to say, in the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." Let us all drink together. Amen. Okay, Crystal, where are you? Give me that one. There we go. Okay, I am good now.
Amen. I got you. All right, you guys, good morning. Happy Sunday. It's the first Sunday in February. Thank you, Pastor O, for starting us off in 1 Corinthians. Like you said, I think it helps all of us when you preach in series because of it. You don't feel like you're ever done, but we also don't feel like we're all over the place. So what helps us to get one thing after the other in sequence so that we really understand what's being taught to us. So we're starting off in 1 Corinthians, and so like you said, there was one sentence that you could just preach on forever, but you couldn't do that. So we most definitely look forward to however long it takes for us to get through the book of 1 Corinthians, and there's a lot of chapters, and so it's going to take some time, and we're most definitely looking forward to that. So we thank you for the word that you brought to us today, and we know that you never threw, but you always got to quit. Amen. So we look forward to next Sunday. Amen. So just by way of a couple of announcements, don't forget that our Blog Talk Radio Saturday Church School is on Saturdays at 9 a.m. Our Blog Talk Radio Saturday Worship Service is on Saturdays at 10 a.m. And our Blog Talk Radio Sunday Worship Service is on Sundays at 10 a.m. Amen. Don't forget on Mondays at 6 p.m. we're here on Blog Talk Radio, and we will continue with our class on 2 Peter. So read chapter 3. Are we in chapter 3? I think we're in chapter 3. We're in chapter 3 of the book of 2 Peter by Charlie Avila. So just read chapter 3 and answer the questions in the back of the book and make sure to come prepared for discussion on tomorrow. Also, every Tuesday at 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio with his series Training Day. Every Wednesday at 6 p.m., we've got our Bible reading class. The questions are available by email if you're on pastor's list, and if not, just go to our church website, rfcm.org. If I'm not mistaken, Deacon Charles McMahon Mackey will be doing Ezekiel chapters 11 to 15 this Wednesday. Amen. So if you don't have the questions, you can, again, go to our church website, rfcm.org, and click on the Bible classes link, and you'll be able to get the questions. Or if you're on pastor's email list, he's already sent them out, and they're already available for you to be able to participate. Don't forget, every Friday at 7 p.m., Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is on Blog Talk Radio with Bring Back the Family, so make sure to tune in to that. Every Saturday at 11:30 a.m., Bondage Breaker Ministries holds a women's Bible class. For more information to be able to participate, please reach out to the president of Bondage Breaker Ministries and the teacher of the women's Bible class, Pastor Janice Tate. Just go to our church website. under Christian Resources, and there's a link there where it says click on Bondage Breaker Ministries, and you'll get the information you need if you'd like to participate in her women's Bible class on Saturdays at 11:30 a.m. If you'd like to pay your tithes and offerings online, go to our church website, rfcm.org. When Pastor preaches, he never and there's never any offering taken up for him, but if you would like to give a love offering for Pastor O, you can go to our church website, rfcm.org, or go to his website, pastorgmo.com. Amen. So the Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness and sharing with us and with everyone else that we are enabled to help throughout the year through your consistent and your generous giving. Amen. Please don't forget, again, to check out our church website, rfcm.org. There's jobs, resources, classes, services, so much more. All available for free. Amen. Free, free, free. We all like free. Most things in life are not free, but all the stuff on our church website is free. Amen. Unless you're, you know, needing to purchase the book. We've got a couple people in our church that have written books. Pastor O, Pastor Jonathan. I know Pastor Janice has, you know, written some stuff. So there's all types of stuff on our church website. Please go get the information. Use it for yourself as well as sharing it with others. Also, it's 2023. Amen. We are all technologically savvy in some way, shape, or form. Worst case scenario, know how to work your email, because that's how we get most of our information. If you're not on social media, if you're not on Facebook, you know, Pastor posts a lot of things on, you know, Facebook and things. But the majority of our communication to our church comes from Pastor O in email form. Amen. So please, if nothing else, make sure you're checking your emails on a regular basis, especially since we're out of the church building. And so Pastor sends us updates on what's going on with that. So make sure you're just checking your email on a regular basis so you know what's up, and keep current on what we're doing. All right. We always want to say what's up. Good morning. Amen. To all of our mothers that run for Christ Ministries, we love them so much. Mother Irma, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia, we miss them. And when we were in the church building, we always had at least one, if not two of them, holding it down for every mother every Sunday. But we know at least one of them, if not more of them, are listening. Blog Talk Radio is really convenient for them because they really don't have to do a lot of moving around to get what they need. And so we're thankful for Blog Talk Radio and the platform that it provides Run for Christ Ministry members to be able to listen and not have to physically be somewhere and go somewhere, especially to our mothers or if someone has had a surgery or something. So it's super convenient. So we just want to say good morning to them. We just need to make sure that we're taking the time to call them or check on them and one another to make sure everybody is okay. So if you need any information for anybody, phone numbers, emails, addresses, to reach out, send cards, do whatever you want to do, you can always reach out to Sheila and she will get you the information you need to be able to reach out to any one of the members at the church. Continue to pray for everyone everywhere all of the time. Pray for our members who may be facing upcoming tests and surgeries and procedures. Again, the church building construction / reconstruction. Amen. Please continue to pray for Nico Gaston, Nicole Seabrook, Deacon Rayfield Rogers, Doris Gaither. Again, all of our mothers, Mother Irma, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia, Keela Freeman, as well as Ed Johnson. Continue to please pray for Sheila's brother, Dwayne, who is in the hospital, but praise God, is out of ICU. Amen. And we know that she is very grateful and thankful for all of your prayers for him. Don't forget to pray for our president, vice president, leaders of our country, and as well as the leaders of our communities. Please pray for all of our kids and our young adults, one another, of course. And please don't forget to pray for all of those who are bereaved, mourning, and grieving. That is just something that is never going to end. Amen. So as long as there's life on earth, there will be death. Amen. So there's always someone who is grieving or mourning the loss of a friend or a loved one. Even if you just had one person in this world who loved you and you went home to be with the Lord, that person is going to miss you and that person is going to grieve and that person is going to mourn. And so they need prayers. So just make sure to lift everyone up in prayer. Also, please remember to keep Deaconess June Rogers and her family in your prayers and the loss of her sister who was eulogized on yesterday. Amen. Amen. So happy birthday all the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated this past week, or if you're celebrating today, we got two birthdays that I know of. I know people be having birthdays and they don't want to say nothing, but it's okay. So two birthdays at Run for Christ Ministries that I have on my list is Mother Marilyn, who will be celebrating her birthday on the 7th, and Dr. Nico Gaston, who will be celebrating her birthday on the 21st. So happy, happy birthday, and much love and blessings to them. Amen. Last but not least is your devotional for today, which is entitled, God Won't Let Go of Your Hand. And this is by Pastor Rick Warren. So on Sundays, you hear devotionals from Pastor Rick Warren a lot because they're shorter. On Saturdays, because there's more time, I will give you a longer devotional. So I'm like, oh my gosh, you're reading something else from Pastor Rick Warren? Yes, because his tend to be a little shorter. And then on Saturday, I read some that are a little bit longer just because of time. So this one is God Won't Let Go of Your Hand. And it says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never die. And no one can steal them out of my hand. And that's John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. You can't save yourself, but you don't have to. All you need to do is put your hand in God's hand and say, God, I surrender it all to you, all the good and the bad and the ugly parts of my life. I'm not perfect, but you are, and so I'm accepting your gift of salvation. When you do that, you can relax in your salvation. But some days, you'll want to let go of God's hand. You'll want to pull back and say, I don't even know what I believe. But God is never going to let go of your hand because he loves you too much. Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never die. And no one can steal them out of my hand. My Father gave my sheep to me. He is greater than all. And no person can steal my sheep out of my Father's hand. And that's John 10, 27 to 29. The eternal life God gives you begins the moment you put your hands in his. And you can't lose it once you got it. Why? Because your salvation is not based on having more good works to outweigh your bad work. It's based on the merit of Jesus Christ alone. If you could get to heaven simply by being a nice person, then Jesus dying on the cross was a total waste of suffering, sorrow, sadness, and pain. If there was any other way for you to get into heaven except by Jesus Christ, God would have chosen it, but there was no other way. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, and that's Luke 19, verse 10, which means the world is lost. Everyone is not going to heaven. Everyone was automatically going to go to heaven. Jesus did not need to come to earth, live a perfect life, and then carry our sins in his body to the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. That's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. When you put your life in God's hand, he promises he will hold on to you forever. This is why you can relax in your salvation. If you truly trust in Christ and know that you're not getting to heaven on your own efforts, then nothing can steal your salvation from you. Not Satan, not sorrow, not sickness, and not society. You're in the hand of the good shepherd. And when you put your life in God's hand, he promises he will hold on to you forever. Amen? Amen. And those are your announcements. Don't give up.
Amen.
Never let go.
Don't give up. Never let go. Don't give up. Hold your head up. So you got me singing. This is all your fault.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. So sorry, y'all. So sorry.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You know, you done picked the last song. There is literally a song entitled, Don't Give Up. Lord
uh-oh.
Have mercy.
That Holy Spirit be doing stuff.
and I was going to play a song that's right next to it, and then there you go. But
there you go.
You got to pick the last song today. Thank you,
amen.
Crystal. Appreciate you. Thanks for the announcements and the service and Bible classes and all that good stuff. And tell me, I say, what's
one.
Up?
I sure will. Amen.
All right. Be blessed, my sister. Love you. See you later.
Love you, too. All right.
Amen. God bless. And we just getting started with the book of Corinthians. That was just an introduction to the book. There are 16 chapters chock full of all the information we need to live successful Christian lives and to deepen our relationship with the Lord. That's what it's all about. That's what Paul is doing for them right now and at the same time doing for us. So I pray to God that you be able to stick with it through all 16 chapters. Lord willing, and the church ain't got raptured. Amen. I pray that you're able to make it to the end. I just want to say thank you to a dear friend of mine who I call my brother. His name is Bob Johnson, or Robert Johnson. Some of y'all might know him as that. A lot of people ask me, where did I learn how to play music? Well, I didn't. Well, I learned how to play it from my father. He used to play a bunch of jazz and stuff all the time. So I kind of picked some of it up from him. But the majority of DJing I got from Bob Johnson. I used to go with him when he would DJ this place, that place, you know, this party or that party. And I watched him. I watched him how he would pick one song before the next other song was even through playing, and he would mix it right, you know, right into that. And I learned a lot from watching him. So that's where I learned how to play music. Pastor Janice Tate is the one who taught me how to pick the difference between worship songs and you can't play Christian rap for church and all that good stuff. So she taught me how to play church music. Okay, because as you can tell, I love rap. So not secular rap, because I think them boys got a problem. They done bump their head real hard, and that causes those words to come out their mouth. But I like Christian rap or Christians who rap. Amen. That's what works for me. But as you can see, I play a ton of inspirational music and gospel music. So I want to thank Bob Johnson. I never knew when I was hanging with him that this is what I would be doing later on in life in church. Lord Jesus. I want to thank Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, our presiding person, who gets all these people to come on here and do scripture and prayer. By the way, I want to thank Deacon Charles Mackey. I want to thank Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon. Okay, I want to thank all of you. I thank the Lord for what he's doing through me. And, of course, Crystal giving us our announcements and everything else that we get from her, devotionals. I really love those because I tend to focus on those for the rest of the week. So I thank God for each and every one of you who come together to make this service happen. So, again, I pray that you'll be able to make it all the way through the books. And, again, I won't be preaching through these epistles because they are lessons to be taught. We tend to want everything to be inspirational. We tend to want everything to be about us and you know, in our life. Jesus is all about that, but he has asked us to be all about him, right? Go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. So he will take care of the rest. So if you've been practicing retarded Christianity and you've been chasing the stuff instead of the stuff chasing you, let me tell you what you need to do. And it's simple. What you need to do, okay, is seek first, above all else, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all the stuff that these ganky pastors and preachers got you praying for and waiting for, okay, will just get added to you. If you run for Jesus, he'll make sure there's some water on the side of the road stuck out to you. You won't even have to go by it. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Remember, never give up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Living holy in the night. It gets, no matter how rough, every brother, every sister I said, listen, don't give up.
I know the day is dim, chances may be slim, hold on to what you believe, yeah.
I know it hurts sometimes, sometimes you sit and cry, you gotta hold on.
Oh, my sister, don't give it. You just keep the faith there.
everybody say hey.